It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars.
It's Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Welcome to the Pisscast.
Welcome to it.
It was a bit of a hectic morning this morning because there was major highway closures around the city due to visibility and slipperiness. And
yeah,
when that happens, the show takes on a kind of a different pace because we're trying to keep people updated with what's happening in traffic.
When the highways are fully closed, it's a different ball game. Like it's, you know, there's bad accidents and things will slow down and that's one thing. But yeah, when a highway actually shuts down, you got to pass that information along.
And on one hand, I mean, selfishly, people spend more time with us.
It's true.
When you're stuck in traffic, but also they're not happy about it and it sucks. So bit of a double-edged sword there.
It really is.
On today's show, we did something different for pop-up audio, and you're going to hear that at the end of the podcast. Rather than us tell you stories about the band and the song, we had the band themselves do it. So we got our friends, the Darcys, very cool Canadian band, to come on and tell us about their latest song. So you'll hear that at the end. Some big news from the province about an issue that I am quite passionate about.
Oh, yeah, this is huge.
We've got a way for you to put your knowledge about this show to the test.
Mm-hmm.
We'll explain that a bit more. We're going to talk about different nicknames for cities, both formal and informal.
Yep.
But first,
the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I got chatting with a friend about the card game Canasta recently, which I used to play with my grandparents. Not very well known. Like, have you heard of Canasta before?
I've heard the name. I've never played.
Great old people game. Really good for the older people. You know, a lot of them like to play that game. And then we got talking about other games like Crib, for example. And we got chatting about all the different old people games and the games that are great for silvers, you know, as you get a little older, as you age, as you mature, there's certain games that people like to play.
Yeah, and seniors tend to gravitate to the same sorts of, I guess, like you're limited by, I guess, reaction time and physical ability as you get a bit older.
It's
not
true.
Everybody, but some seniors. So,
and I was thinking, like, now that I'm a grandma, it makes sense that I'm getting excited about all these games, but perhaps we could do a top 10.
Top 10
old
people games?
Yes, please.
Let's do it. At number 10, I'm going to put Floor Shuffleboard.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've never played, but it's the sticks and the...
Let me tell you, all of my relatives go to Florida for the winter, and they actually go into shuffleboard tournaments.
Floor Shuffleboard?
Floor Shuffleboard.
Nice.
And they're all older.
Very
nice.
So there
you go. In at number 9, Canasta. Super complicated game, by the way. It takes 90 years to learn all the rules, so you really can only master it when you're old.
Going to go a different direction here at number 8, Mahjong.
Oh.
Which I know is big in Asian countries.
Okay.
There are a lot of old Asian people.
There you go.
Mahjong. I don't even really know what it is.
I don't know either, but I guess it sounds good. In at number 7, chess. It's just a cliche in all the different movies. You know, the elderly, wise, smart men, they all play chess. So.
Sitting in the park,
yep.
Playing chess,
of
bunch of old people.
Mm-hmm.
Number, what are we at, 6?
Yes.
Pickleball. This is interesting because pickleball has crept out of old people into just the general population, but it started with old people.
It started as a game for older people because it's easier to play.
And everyone else was like, that looks fun, and now everyone's playing pickleball.
Mm-hmm. In at number 5, Rummy Cue. It's a game that has all these tiles. The tiles have giant numbers. So as your sight starts to go, you can still easily see. My grandma actually used to put nail polish on the cues to really help my grandpa see. Yeah.
The big letters help, just like my parents' phone font. That's huge. It's enormous.
And my boyfriend's.
Number 4?
4.
Puzzles.
Of course.
Don't need to say any more than that. Puzzles.
Yeah. And number 3, bridge. The Best of Bridge cookbook, for example, was made by older women, okay, playing bridge. So, there you go.
Number 2, table shuffleboard. Find me a place where old folks gather that doesn't have a shuffleboard table.
Another one, though, that's extended to the young people, too.
You go to
that.
A Legion, you go to a senior center in a small town. They
always.
All got that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that game. And at number 1, Crib. Everybody plays Crib.
Classic.
It's easy to play for the whole family, so you can play young and old.
Number 1's got to be a card game, and that would be the biggest one.
Absolutely.
Amongst old folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's your top 10 old people games.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Do you remember any of the classroom games you played growing up? Like if the teacher needed to kill.
Oh, yeah.
6 or 7 minutes before the end of class, you'd play a game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of them?
Heads Up 7-Up was the one we played all the time.
It was the goat of classroom games.
Yeah.
My boys, it was funny because you'd always just tap your crush, right?
Yep.
And then you'd guess that your crush tapped you, and they didn't, and then you were heartbroken.
Yep, that's basically how it went.
My boys came home with this game called Wax Museum. Do you know Wax Museum?
I don't know Wax Museum.
This is newer. I'd never heard of it. But from their explanation, so one person is the janitor and everyone else is a statue. And they can only move when the janitor isn't looking.
Okay.
So the janitor turns around, then they can move around a bit, but you can't get caught moving. Kind of like the ghosts in Super Mario.
I was going to say, it's or Squid Game, you know, when the you have to freeze and...
It's exactly like that. They call it red light, green light, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Which I played, red light, green light.
I remember that one. Yeah. So this is a version of that, I guess. But so Brigham, my youngest, he's 4. He's been practicing standing perfectly still when we go places.
Hilarious.
Training for Wax Museum.
Okay,
so
good.
So like we were out yesterday, he was just standing perfectly still. He's like, Dad, look how still I am.
I'm glad he's taking his training seriously. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, it's a great skill to have if you're going to be one of those living statues who paint themselves all shiny and then...
My God, are some of those impressive.
Yeah, but I mean, remember when I told you that my oldest Beau had started practicing miming?
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to discourage the miming because it was getting a bit out of
hand. And I was really thinking I was going to encourage it. Like, you're gonna like... I still want to buy him. Oh, I was going to do that. Buy him a magician set.
No, a mime set.
Yeah, well, I mean, you start, it's all kind of combined into one. Just get him really into that kind of stuff.
I don't know. I'd say magic is cooler than mime.
Okay, but... yeah, you're right. Miming, hey, that's an art form. I don't want to offend the mimes that are listening right now.
Are we big in the mime community here? Does Calgary have much of a mime community?
We do. We have a school, a mime school.
Are you serious?
I looked into it. Yeah. There's a thing. It's a mime school in Calgary. So we've just offended all the mimes. I'm sorry. If you're going to mime school right now, I think it's cool.
I guess Beau doesn't have to move away to train then.
Yeah. The fact that you can communicate without talking, it's great.
Man, so we're going to have a mime in the family. We're going to have a living statue in the family. Like, if I open a souvenir shop, we could get our own little tourist trap going here, couldn't we?
Yeah, you might as well.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
We were talking about Nanaimo the other day, Nanaimo, BC, and how one of the nicknames for Nanaimo, according to Urban Dictionary, is Nanaimhole, which I thought it's pretty funny. It got me thinking of all the different nicknames, though, for Canadian cities.
I've never been to Nanaimo. Isn't it really beautiful?
Yeah, it is. So apparently, there's just not much to do. So, of course, people there, and it's a smaller town, and people from smaller towns do not look kindly upon their towns.
It's so funny, because you can live on Vancouver Island, and people are still like, this sucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where would you like to live, then?
Anywhere but here. The grass is always greener.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, I was thinking about the nicknames for different places, and a lot of them you don't hear about until you talk to somebody from there, because a lot of them are more local, too. Like, even recently, I had never heard Vansterdam for Vancouver before.
Is that because of their relaxed
weed policies in Amsterdam? And yes. Yeah. So Vansterdam, I was like, that's a good one, too. Yep. And I'd never really heard of that. Or Port Coquitlam, BC, is POCO. Somebody said that the other day, and I was like, that one's kind of, I like that too. And again, never really heard of it.
Yeah, there's ones that are just shortened.
Yep.
Like, you know, calling Sault Ste. Marie the Sioux.
Yes.
And then there are ones that are...
A little more clever.
Yeah, like specific to that place, something about it.
I mean, Winterpeg, I always thought that was a good one. Everybody knows that. It's oversaid now, and you're kind of like, meh. But I'm like, that's a good nickname for it.
It's also a badge of honor.
Yeah.
In a cold country, you are like the coldest, hey?
You're right. Yeah. I was trying to think of others.
Well, like Edmundchuk, have you ever heard that one? And that's because of all the like Ukrainian and Eastern European immigrants that landed there.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Shred deer. I learned that one from Diener from FUBAR.
Yes.
I interviewed him one time and he called it shred deer. And I was
I'm
keeping
God.
That.
Because dead rear you hear and I'm like, meh.
That's not as good.
Shred
deer is great.
Oh, shred deer is phenomenal. I love Fox Creek, Alberta and how people call it Fox Vegas. That one I find absolutely hilarious because there's no comparison between Las Vegas and Fox Creek, Alberta.
Is it just a joke?
It's a joke, yeah. It's just Fox Vegas. I like those ones a lot, the ones that are kind of just opposite of what the place really is. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that I've heard. There's like, my friend used to call Grand Prairie the grandest of prairies, which I always thought was funny. I don't think that's widespread.
Yeah. No. Nope.
Swift Current, Saskatchewan, people call Speedy Creek, just to play on the name.
That's a good one. I like that one a lot.
When I lived in Lloydminster, we referred to it as the double L. The two of them?
Two of them.
How many L's does your city have? We got lots.
As if that's, again, a badge of honor. You're like, is it really?
Yeah, our city starts with two L's. So.
Yeah. A friend of mine is from Fredericton, and they call it Freddy Beach. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was pretty funny as well. That's another one that's kind of a playoff like it.
You know, one I don't like is Kelowna-fornia. And I think like it came about because of the weather.
Yeah.
But I also think that people who move to Kelowna just think they're better than other people. which is kind of like California, so it works there too.
I didn't even think of it that way. I was like, from an outsider's perspective, because, yeah, everybody walks around in their bathing suits and stuff like California, Kelowna-fornia. If you go there, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, you're trying to be. Mm-hmm.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
We were talking about, like, classroom games earlier on the show. I have a bit of a blast from the past for you here,
okay,
Sean.
Okay, yeah.
Let's go to my backpack. You remember these?
Oh, yeah.
What did you call these?
That's a good question.
It's a, I knew them as like a paper fortune teller.
Yeah,
right?
something like that.
It's one of these things you fold up and then you do this with your fingers and then you pick a color and a number and then you turn over the flap and it has your fortune in there.
Yep.
My boys came, it was Bo who came home and he's like, Dad, do you know how to make these? And I was like, I actually don't. It was the girls in my class that would always make these.
Yep.
And then they'd,
you were at the mercy
of whatever they decided to put in.
Yeah, you write we used to write numbers on the outside and then inside would be what, like colors or something?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I did it wrong.
That's okay.
Wrong.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you failed though, because there's no numbers on the outside. Which
no,
you need
there's
to...
numbers there and then there's colors there.
Oh, failure.
So do you want to try this?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, pick a number.
Two.
Two. One, two. Pick another number.
Two.
Two. One, two. Okay, and then you got to pick the last number, and then I flip it over, right?
Three.
Three, okay.
And your fortune? I was only picking two because it was the only one I could see forward
here,
by the way.
Oh, yeah, it's scribbled, sorry.
It's fine. No, no.
This says, you will plug many toilets. Damn, this thing knows you pretty well, Shauna.
Okay. Okay.
You want to go again?
No, I don't, actually. That's enough. That's good.
That's your fortune?
Yeah, that's
Try it one more time.
Okay.
Pick one.
Fine.
Here's a color. So there's red, green, blue, and yellow. Can you see
blue.
That? Blue. B-L-U-E. Pick another color.
Red.
Red. It says, you will plug many toilets. Wow,
this
thing.
I was going to say, you put that on everyone, didn't you?
I didn't really believe that these things worked,
yeah,
but
okay.
My mind changed here.
I don't plug toilets,
you will plug many toilets.
Oh, I'm going to do that for you. You skip leg day.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
I love how all athletes' Wikipedia pages have their height and weight on it. Like, I almost feel like everybody's Wikipedia pages should have that, but it's not. It's just athletes, right? Because athletes are seen as like specimens. It's like, no, you need to list off their height and weight. Give us their measurements. We need to know.
And it's, you're right. A lot of people will go online looking for, how big is that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I mean, I guess people do that with other celebrities too. You want to know how tall an actor or an actress is, or...
You will. It's a bit harder to find, though. And
it is.
A lot of them don't list that on their Wikipedia pages, at least. You have to kind of go digging for it.
And sometimes they'll figure it out based on photos they appear in with other people whose height is known.
Yeah, you almost... People are doing the measurements themselves.
Yeah.
Like, well, if this person is this tall, then here, this is how we can determine this. Which, quite fun. I think that everybody should just have to list their height and weights. Why not? No, Beckler, 6'3 on skates. Is that what you are?
6'6 on skates.
6'6 on skates.
Don't be selling me short here.
Excuse me. Yeah, 200 whatever pounds, you know?
235 these days.
All right.
Two bills.
Great. Yeah, I mean, why not? Let's just normalize height. It's funny because women are always kind of afraid of saying their weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that should change recently as well, or it should be changing, because women now are working out their dumpers, right? Like, that is a big thing about what they're doing in the gym. They're trying to get more voluptuous crappers, and with that comes weight. Like, you actually have to have a little more weight to add that extra gumption, I mean, to your voluption,
to your contraption back there. We've talked a lot about how, you know, what is considered the ideal body type for a woman has changed a lot even since we grew up, right?
Gigantic poppers, like
huge,
that's
poopers,
what people really want now. Big pop sockets, just put a giant one back there.
Big old science project behind you.
That's honestly, so why are we shouldn't be, you know, it should be, if you gain weight, it should be a good thing now.
I suppose, yeah.
It means your poke bowl is really just getting bigger and bigger back there, you know, and it means that it's a good thing.
Yeah,
so,
at the very least, like, nothing to be ashamed of, right?
No, so it just means that you've got a good wind mitten.
A
wind mitten. Put your big wind mitten back there.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was laying in bed the other night with my oldest son, Bo, trying to get him to fall asleep. And he always likes when I give him quizzes.
Yeah.
Like, do you want a quiz? And he was like, okay, what's the topic? And he listens to our podcast every night when he falls asleep. So he knows this show inside out. And I was like, okay, well, I'll quiz you on the show. I'll quiz you about the different things that we talk about on the show and see how well you do. And he got every question that I asked right.
That's amazing.
And then I was thinking, It's probably lots of people like that. People who spend every morning with us or listen to our podcast every episode. And you still have that subscription to SurveyMonkey that you paid how much for?
$99 accidentally so that we could do a stupid survey on that dumb cops bit to see if we should stop doing it or not. And I spent, $99
on that. That's how much Shauna paid out of pocket to get rid of that bit.
So. And that's how much it costs for a month subscription. And the month is up in 10 days. So I think we should take full advantage and use that again.
Yeah, I was like, why don't we put together a BNS quiz and put it out to whoever wants to take it and see how well you know this radio program.
And I looked into it last night, and I can like pose questions and people can write in answers and stuff. So you can do quizzes, not just surveys with it as well. So
okay.
Well, let's do it.
I was trying to think of some of the questions that we could ask. Like, we could have some easier ones, some kind of freebies. Like, you know, if you've listened for longer than a little bit, you'll know probably where we're from originally.
Yep. Your first name, maybe?
Yeah. What instruments we play.
Yeah. The thing Cliff laughs at the hardest. That's come up quite a bit recently.
I was thinking even we've mentioned your parents by name a lot on the show, so I wonder if people would know your parents' names.
Mm, that's a bit of a tougher one.
That's getting deeper. Yeah. Who's Terry's favorite band?
Yeah. What? I mean, list a couple names for butts for us, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
What does Terry call his wife?
Mm-hmm.
Or his girlfriend?
Your facial flaw?
Yeah, I do have something wrong with my face.
I have something that I have a flaw with going on my upper region as well.
You can put these all into SurveyMonkey, and then once we get that done, we'll put it out on our social media channels, and you can take the BNS quiz and see if you are a certified
BNS head or not.
Yeah, a certified Terry if you do well enough.
We could give you a piss cast certificate even.
What does that look like?
Oh, not sure yet, but I don't think it will be good.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So the quiz is live now, Shauna?
It is.
Okay, I'm going to put the link in the description for this podcast, so you can click that and take the BNS quiz if you want. How many questions are there?
19 or 20, I forget.
And a bonus question?
Yeah, a bonus question.
And a bonus question. Mm. Okay. So we'll have to come up with some sort of rating depending on how well you do.
Yeah, we're going to be marking papers. It's like we're teachers.
I'm going to take the quiz myself. I hope I get everything right.
Well, that would be funny if you did.
I'm on the show.
Wouldn't that be awkward?
We are going to be. We're going to have to mark these all like a teacher. You're right.
I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see some of the responses. We got a message from friend of the show, Kurt, and Kurt said he thinks he knows, like, for two people he's never met, he thinks he knows more about us than some people he's worked with for 10 years.
Yeah,
that's probably very true.
That's crazy.
It's a very odd relationship in that sense, because I mean, if you've listened to most of our podcast, you'll know a lot about us, and we probably just know bits and pieces about your life. So that's part of the reason that we love hearing from you so much. We love getting your emails and your calls. And
we like connecting, too. Like, you know about us, and we always love to know about you, too. So never, ever, ever hesitate to reach out to us or message us or email. We love it. We love it.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You love your car. Bet you'd love lower interest and lower payments, too. Refinance your auto loan with House of Cars and love the freedom of having more money in your pocket. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Tremendous news from the provincial government yesterday.
Yes.
Beginning in 2022, Alberta will be restricting municipalities in their use of photo radar. This is the post from Premier Kenney's Instagram account yesterday. I didn't know Jason Kenney had Instagram either.
No, I didn't actually.
I don't follow him. But he said, for too long, municipalities have used photo radar as a cash cow to squeeze even more money from hardworking Albertans. Those days are coming to an end. Starting next year, municipalities will have to demonstrate that they're using photo radar to actually improve public safety instead of just boosting their bottom lines.
Ho!
And that gets a slow...
Damn.
Friggin' clap for me.
When I read this, I was like, is this real life or...
It's happening.
Merry Christmas early to us. Like, I mean,
Jason Kenney and his government have been taking a lot of L's recently.
Mm.
A lot of L's.
Yep.
And this is a W.
Oh, man.
And I wonder if maybe that's the reason that this announcement is coming when it does. But
I know Saskatchewan did this a little while ago where they were saying, was it Saskatchewan or there was someone, or was it Ontario?
Well, the interesting thing about this here is that it's not just the UCP government. The NDP actually got this ball rolling back when they formed government and they ordered a report into the use of photo radar in this province. And then that report came out in 2018 and it found only marginal correlations between photo radar and a reduction in collisions.
Right.
To the surprise of no one who has put their emotions aside for a second and really thought about this problem.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, though, the NDP still criticized the UCP's announcement yesterday. And they said they didn't think it went far enough.
Oh, interesting.
Like, isn't this what much you wanted. I mean,
okay. Well, I mean, you could go even further if you'd like.
I guess, but opposition's got to oppose. But here are the specifics. Photo radar will be restricted in transition zones and residential roads with less than 50 kilometer per hour speed limits, which has to be disappointing to anyone who thought that by lowering the speed limits in Calgary, they were really going to cash in on photo radar. Mm-hmm. Because now the photo radar vehicles will not even be allowed to be used there.
Yep.
Photo radar vehicles must be clearly visible.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you see what their vehicles look like in Edmonton right now, but they're like bright yellow. Like you can't miss them.
Okay.
There's no more like, you know, Ford Explorer parked off to the side behind a wall.
No, there's no someone hiding in a bush with some photo radar. Just like,
no. So they are.
Oh, that car looks
visible.
Like a bush. Weird.
Which is the idea if you're trying to improve safety, right?
Yeah.
They say you can't be ticketed twice within 5 minutes and they can't run photo radar in construction or school zones when workers or students are not present.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes sense. We completely agree with strong speed enforcement in those high-risk areas.
Of course.
But, like, if there's nobody working, then there's no point.
Basically, anywhere where it doesn't make sense to have photo radar, it's no longer allowed. So, the places that are in those really greasy spots where, again, it's just, you haven't
the one on
slowed
Crowchild
down
behind
quite
the
fast
wall.
Enough yet. Okay, come on.
Super greasy. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to hold off to see what this looks like when it's actually implemented, if they follow through with everything they say they're going to do, but this is great.
That's
I know
a big win.
We're going to get some messages from the smug, if you don't like it, just don't speed crowd. Those people think they have it all figured out, but I have wasted enough time arguing with them. This is good things. You're not going to take this from us today.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Etymology with Shauna.
I said the term take the cake yesterday, and then I was like, I wonder where that came from.
Like, that really takes the cake?
That takes the cake. So the first example of this is back in ancient Greek, when cake was used to refer to any sort of prize. And back then, I guess gifting cake was a big thing. Like, you would gift cakes all the time, big fancy cakes, ones you couldn't make yourself, that sort of thing. And apparently the person who stayed up all night during a crazy Greek party would be awarded a cake.
Okay.
I guess people who would be the last standing in these nuts Greek parties that would happen all night long, they would then get cake for staying up so late. Which also, like, if everybody else is asleep, how would you know that person was the last standing?
How would you know? Is there one person who's the judge who doesn't
like,
party and they just sit there watching?
Or there's just two of you left and then the one person's like, I'm going to bed, you get the cake, okay? I'm too tired. It's yours. Go for it.
Kind of sounds like you. You've given me cakes for all sorts of different occasions. So
I have.
Yeah.
It's just a cheap, nice, easy way to give somebody a little gift, you know?
Yeah.
Show your appreciation. But then it kind of disappeared for a long time and nobody really referenced cakes or taking the cake for a while. And it reappeared in the age of plantations. And slaves would have cakewalks where they would have competitive dance performances and they would mock the over-refined manner that plantations owners would express during their formal balls. And that's what they do during these cakewalks.
I don't know if I'm allowed to laugh at that, but that's really funny.
Yeah, well, I can only imagine how ridiculous the, like, refined manners
of
these.
Yeah, for sure.
It would just be over the top, for sure. So, yeah, they would have these cakewalks, and that's what they do. They'd mock this. And
whoever
I guess
did the best job of mocking,
they'd get a cake.
The slave owners would get the cake, hey?
Yep, they would get the cake. So there you go. And apparently the dances would often happen around cakes as well. You would just dance around the cake too.
And you're like, that thing's mine.
Yep, somebody would be awarded it at the end. So
is that going to be one of those terms that we won't be allowed to say? Because it has its roots in...
I don't know.
In slavery?
Potentially.
Hmm.
I mean, do you say it has roots in slavery or is it the Greek crazy parties?
Good question.
Beforehand.
Depends who you ask, maybe.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not sure.
And also it was the slaves mocking the slave owners. So does that make it okay?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not
give me
sure.
That cake.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I'm not sure if you saw this story floating around about the Christmas toy. It's a dancing cactus that unfortunately sings a song about cocaine and inappropriate things in Polish.
I did see this story going around. Yeah, I haven't actually heard the song.
Okay,
but
so this is the song here. It's in Polish, but okay, so that's it. I hope there was no swear words in there, but I
don't know.
In the words, they do say, the only thing in my head is 5 grams of coke. That's actually the first lyrics of the song.
This was a children's
toy. This is a children's dancing cactus that had this song that was supposed to play, and needless to say, people were fairly upset about it. And I was just like, well, I can understand why.
Yeah.
That's not what...
If you know Polish.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking maybe, though, you and I we're fairly good at translating some of our current Canadian hits into other languages.
Some of the biggest songs from Canada, repurposing them for other markets.
Trying to extend into different markets. And I thought maybe we could do this for the Polish Dancing Cactus.
Program these into your Dancing Cactus. They're not nearly as offensive. Shauna, do you want to go first?
Yes, please.
Moja brani min milkcha. Ra barzo rajin rakchi. Jezli shuki radi krojat. Moje krole kidi mishli. Otobi kali moj. We had Sija Bada.
Your Polish accent is pretty good. You know, there are women in Poland too. Like, you could have a more feminine voice.
For some reason, I just envisioned that's how I was thinking. I'm not sure why.
Well, I went the other direction. I went with something really soft.
Oh, good.
Zaba Matiem Si Wetsies Mini Pamital Nida Si Omenak Niplax Nad Wispom Nienyemi.
Beautiful.
It's all consonants.
It's a little tough to read.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So if you listen to the show, you know all about our segment, Pop-Up Audio.
Yeah, you do.
It's our updated version of the old pop-up video TV show, but for radio.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we play a couple clips of the song and then we tell you some facts about that song.
Yeah.
We wanted to try something different, though. We're like, wouldn't it be cool if the band told you about their song and not us?
Yeah.
So we called up our friends from the Darcys, and that's what we're doing today. Audio.
I've been watching the sunrise over the city skyline. Waiting on the news to arrive. I'm losing count of all the times.
It's funny because simultaneously during COVID, I don't know about anyone else, but I just started to pick up these weird habits and hobbies and had to sort of change my life to be able to be creative. And one of the things I started doing was running. And then I started to become obsessive about it and, you know, run 200 kilometers a month. And so it was just about sort of fusing those two lives and also trying to come up with things to write about during COVID when there was so much happening in the world that was so dark, but in my little microcosm, nothing was really happening. So it was hard to be creative, hard to come up with concepts. So it's just about that escapism and that pushing forward and hoping for like a new thing, something to, you know, aspire to, and just being creative again and being out in the world again.
I went searching for a sign at the bottom of a bottle of wine. I'm running for the hills.
When you named this song, did you think slightly of Iron Maiden at all? Did that come to mind, or was this just a completely separate idea?
I love Iron Maiden, but I didn't think of that, and it does come up all the time, and I'm just like, oh, great.
And that song is about genocide, so that's...
Yeah, very, very, very different, just in terms of the naming. You're like, I always wonder if bands actually consider that, because there's so many, obviously there's only so many words in the English language, so you put them together and it'll be similar to another song. I'm always just curious how that works.
I mean, we used to worry about that a lot, you know, be like, oh, is there a song that has this a similar idea or a similar title or something like that, but at this point, it's hard to escape it.
Yeah.
Especially because we can see all these things on the internet, on streaming services, so you can immediately search it and know. I think back a generation or two, everything wasn't cataloged in the same way, so that could happen more easily. And now it's just like, you just have to lean into it and accept it, because unless we start making our song titles like 7+ words long, I think there's bound to be some overlap at some point, but it doesn't mean that we're like lifting ideas from other people.
I saw Amazon Music put up a huge billboard of you guys at Young and Dundas. What does it feel like to see your faces that big and in such a prominent location?
I think the funny thing was that I was visiting Wes at that time. So it would have been a moment for us to go to Young and Dundas Square and kind of revel in the moment, you know, and really soak it up. But unfortunately, we were on the other side of the continent, so we had to get a couple of friends to go down there and take pictures of it and stuff like that. But it's always funny, like things like that, or having our song, you know, on a World Series baseball broadcast or something like that. These are the moments that seem to matter more to certain people than others. And it seemed like that billboard was like a huge thing for some people that I didn't even realize were necessarily even following our project. And they're like, wow, like, that's your moment. And you're like, okay, yeah, cool. A couple years ago, we had a song was in the opening montage of the Leafs game. And my uncle, who's like this stoic guy who lives outside of Toronto, probably thinks that I live in my parents' basement and that we really struggled to like make Rock Band, was like, you've made it. Ron McClain mentioned our band name. He's like, you've done it. And that had no real effect on our career or life. But to him, that was like, we were nominated for a Juno the year before, like nothing. And then Ron McClain mentioned our band name and he was like, that's it. That's my nephew.
Audio.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars, until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.